Hello, Alex from Scrimber here. You are listening to a recording of one of our weekly fireside chats here at Scrimber. In a nutshell, we sit around an imaginary campfire and have real conversations about learning to code and how to land your first junior developer job. We bring out the imaginary kindling every Tuesday, and while we hope you enjoy this recording, we would much prefer to see you there live, because when you attend live, you get to participate in the chat and ask us questions. To learn more about the Fireside Chat, such as how to join, what exciting topics are upcoming, and what specific time the event happens in your time zone, head to scrimber.com/fireside. On behalf of myself, my wonderful co-host Leanne from Scrimber, and everybody else on the Scrimber team, and our occasional guests here in the Fireside Chat, please enjoy this episode, and remember to subscribe so that you see future episodes as well as support the show. Let's get into it. Welcome. If you're in the chat, please say hello. We love to see you pop up. Today, we're going to be talking about what it's like to be a junior developer in a company. This is something that I know for a fact, Michael, you've not only experienced directly, but you've also been a little bit further along in your career and seen juniors enter and progress through the company. So I'm very excited to get your perspectives. Leanne, I know you have some experience as well. Me too, slightly. Bob, have you ever worked as a junior dev?
Yeah, briefly, right after my boot camp. I think I had about a year of actual work.
Amazing. If you're new to the Fireside Chat, basically this is a special type of channel in Discord. It means that there are a few people on the stage. You can listen in from your mobile or the desktop app, so you can listen on the go. Very easy to tune in. Let us know in the chat where you're tuning in. I'd actually be quite interested to know if you're tuning in from your desktop or on a phone or something like that. But the really cool thing about this Sage channel is that we can invite people, or you can request to come up on the stage. And so we'll open the floor up for that in a little bit. But to kick us off, I think we should talk a little bit about what it's like being a junior dev at a company. Maybe we should start by talking about what a junior dev is exactly and what a junior developer is not. What do you think, Leanne?
So I'll give my idea of what a junior dev should be and should not be. And then Michael can tell me if that aligns with his idea and if it aligns with reality in his experience. So in my mind, the idea of being a junior dev is that you're starting off your dev career, so you therefore have skills and obviously less experience than those that are not junior, so senior or mid-level devs, which means you're there need to create production code but also do a lot of learning and get your skills up to level required to lose the junior tag and therefore get more pay. So it's kind of an apprenticeship, you could think of it like that. Sometimes people basically exploit this, but actually they expect the same level of knowledge and lack of support as they would of any other dev, that they can just pay them less. Would you agree with that, Michael?
Yeah, in general terms, yeah, I think so. There is definitely kind of an underlying, well, it's especially with smaller companies that don't really have enough resources to support junior people in general. So some company managers just kind of think of it as a way to save some money, but it kind of hurts them in the long run, I would say.
What was your experience of being a junior dev?
My experience was pretty interesting. I joined a small company, but there were a lot of really experienced senior people. A few people used to work for Microsoft, and a few people used to do quite a lot of years of consulting. So kind of our shop was building. I suppose my mistake was to join a company where speed of development is of the essence, because I'm not a super quick learner. I take my time and stuff. And that's kind of, you know, you need to be able to be brave enough to say no to certain opportunities. In hindsight, I probably would have passed on. But on the other hand, I really wanted the job, so I kind of pressed on with it anyway. Okay. You know, I'm pretty happy I did. My career worked out all right. So yeah, I suppose it's good. But generally, I like this phrase where you either learning or you're earning. And obviously, best position is when you do both. So I clearly took the position where I was learning, and that allowed me to then just progress further where I can do both.
So, you have some experience of mentoring juniors as well, don't you, in your previous role? Can you tell us a bit of what your expectation of them was and how that worked out?
I would say that a lot of my mentorship guidance was very heavily based on what I was like as a junior. So I tried to not press people too much and just be very okay with people kind of, you know, stepping away for a little bit. And it was completely normal in my previous workplace in my current one as well. It's completely normal for people just to kind of say, oh, I'm not quite getting something, so I'll just go for a walk. It was normal, like, you know, we had a meeting at 11 o'clock or something, and people would just go for a coffee for half an hour and then come back and work from there. So kind of we did have a lunch break, but quite honest, most people just, you know, took time because productivity is what mattered. And people just wanted to do a good job. And what time you do that in, it doesn't really matter. Some people just grabbed their laptop, went to a coffee shop, just literally next to the office and worked from there.
What level of support were you giving the juniors in your role, would you say?
So I would say normal level of support.
What you wanted to give.
Yeah, normal level of support is you're on the job, and as a junior, you should be striving just to learn. You know, take the opportunities and be kind to yourself. At the same time, kind of help. There is this concept called manage up. Some people don't like it, some people do. So the concept itself means that you help your managers manage you. So you're quite upfront about your perceived weaknesses. You're quite upfront about what you're not quite getting. You're not trying to hide anything. You kind of wear your heart on your sleeve. And at the same time, my position as your mentor, but at the same time, kind of my company didn't promote one-to-one mentorship. It was more like the whole team works together. So if I can learn something from junior, great. If I can teach something to junior, great too. It's all collaborative learning, I would say. And we're all very upfront with it. So PR reviews is the normal way how people usually pass on code mentorship. Also a lot of pairing exercises. So for example, live share, VS Code extension and so on. Obviously, when you're in the office with someone, it's a little bit easier because you just hop onto one computer. But yeah, generally pairing, design sessions where you draw certain things that you're trying to do, then PR reviews. You kind of go from the very beginning through the journey of implementing some feature all the way to production. And then you repeat it multiple times with the junior developer and that's kind of it's a very delicate process where you kind of need to let go at point and let people just get on with it themselves. I would say that my biggest point was just try to avoid being overbearing and try to show people that they can do much more than they think they can do. Something that I quite lacked myself, like the confidence in that. But then, you know, later on I realized that actually, yeah, I can do stuff. So I wanted to show the people that they can do the same.
Thanks for sharing that story, Michael. I'm kind of curious. I always am. I don't know the answer yet. And I ask a lot of people. And therefore, I'm not sure if people listening know either. But this question about when are you ready to become a junior developer? Like, it seems to me like there is no exact objective test. And so it can depend a little bit on the circumstance as well as your own confidence, right? Like, depending on your character, you might think you're better than you are, but turns out you were good enough. Or maybe you're a bit shyer and insecure about your skills and you wait far too long to apply because you're procrastinating and stuff like that. I'd love to open up the stage, like, among us, and also anybody who wants to raise their hand is welcome to. But I also want to address the chat directly and ask you listening just to take a minute and type when you think you're ready to become a junior developer. I would love it if you could just think about it and write in the chat, because we would love to like challenge some of your assumptions as well as like learn how we're all thinking about this particular question. Whilst people have a think, and again, if you want to, you can raise your hand and come up on the stage and talk about it with us. Maybe again, I could open up to us here on the stage already. What do you think, Bob? When is someone ready to become a junior?
I mean, I kind of jokingly said in the chat that as soon as someone is willing to pay you to do development work, then you're like instantly thrust into the position of a junior developer. But I kind of think that's true. I mean, the way that I kind of rekindled my love for programming was when I was searching for work in advertising, which is what I studied at university, and was struggling to find work. And I had a friend who ran a company that needed an updated website, and they were building a thing in WordPress. And so she hired me at a pretty, you know, low rate to just tinker in WordPress, which I had done maybe once a few years before. And, uh, but I was getting paid. So I was like tracking my hours and just, I guess, struggling through the problem solving process and learning as I went. That reminded me that I enjoyed programming, or helped me understand that I liked web development, and put me on my path that I'm on now. So I went to a boot camp after that. And I would kind of consider myself a junior developer at that point, just because someone was willing to pay me and they were okay with me taking a little extra time to learn my way around.
Leon, you worked as a junior dev for a bit. When did you feel like it was a good time to pursue that opportunity, or did you maybe stumble upon it? I'm not sure. How did it come about?
I didn't really feel that I was ready, to be honest, but I heard a lot of people saying, apply before you feel ready, otherwise you're never going to do it. And I'm the type of person that probably would never feel ready anyway. I think in terms of skills, I covered HTML, CSS, JS, React, maybe Vue, but I don't think Vue, I didn't use Vue at any point, and I could have skipped it. Obviously, that depends on your area and what kind of goals you want to go for. So those are the four main things I think I covered. This was a few years ago now, so I can't remember exactly. But I was quite lucky as well, because obviously I lived with Michael, and he was able to kind of give me an idea of what he knew before he got his first junior role, which I guess gave me the confidence, because I had similar things. You can look out for stories either from Michael or a podcast, or sometimes when we have in the I Got Hired section, people say what they learned before they applied. And if you feel that they match up, you're close to getting there, then yeah, I would say go for it. In terms of how I actually found it, I used LinkedIn. I really like that as a job searching tool. Certainly where we are, it's a lot easier to use and it seems to have higher success rates than other job sites like Indeed, or there's another one called Monster we have. And what's nice about it is it's got a handy job search function. It's really easy to search for. You can just type in junior role, junior developer, and then the area, or you can even search for remote jobs as well, which is quite good. And a lot of the time you don't have to go through the whole long application process that you might get with other places, because you can just press easy apply and it's literally the click of a button. So that's really easy to do, and it just saves having to fill out the same information like 200 times. Yeah, so that's what I did. And I think Michael, you did a similar thing, if I'm not mistaken, to get your first junior role.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, skills wise when you're looking for a junior role, skills wise you're probably kind of, the company has their own needs, and they're trying to, when they're hiring a junior, basically they would like to mentor and give back to the community, and they would like to kind of have another person to, you know, do some work alongside. And also mentoring, don't forget that when you become a junior in the company, you also make the company a favor by teaching their more senior people how to become more effective at transferring knowledge. So kind of like you are their testing ground for their bad teaching skills. You know, you get mentorship and they get mentorship in how to mentor you. And to be fair, that is, you know, you can't really put a price on that, because someone is, you know, testing your life in a way. Yeah, you shouldn't feel all super duper obliged that, oh my god, I'm so thankful that they've taken a chance on me, because you're also taking a chance on them. So it's a two-way street. And when I got my first role, I studied a lot of Python, and then the job I got was C# and JavaScript. So quite often people do hire you on just willingness to learn rather than the skills that you already have. So the moment that you think you have this question, am I ready to apply? I would say you should apply, because the sooner you start, you will start already. You kind of will get out of the way nervousness in front of interviews. So you will have 3-4 interviews, 5 or 10, and then inevitably you'll fail some of them. And that's a good experience. That's all good, because that prepares you for that one job that you will absolutely love and you will get because you have prepared for it.
Yeah, in my experience, people that are hiring juniors are not under the impression that the junior will become a 10x developer, you know, crazy productive in the next, you know, 6 months or anything. And so from what I have kind of discovered in interviewing people who are hiring junior developers for my past job, most people just care that you would be a good person to be around, like more the soft skills, like can they have a conversation with you? Would you be fun to work with, or like an enjoyable person to work with? And then for more the technical skills, like you said, are you teachable? Are you willing to learn? And is it something you're intrinsically interested in? If it is, you'll tend to showcase things like in a portfolio that show how interested you are in learning or what you have learned so far and the dedication you've put toward it. But there's a lot of responses in the chat that say, after I learn XYZ, I think that stems from not wanting to be embarrassed in an interview to say like, oh, well, I've only done vanilla JavaScript. Like I've made a couple command line games or something in vanilla JavaScript. And it's like, sure, they want you to be productive, but unless you're trying to trick them into thinking you know more than you do, like you said, it's probably time to consider applying now. I mean, in the same way that you practice programming, you should be practicing interviewing, because interviewing is a totally different skill from programming. And just knowing ahead of time, like, this is not going to probably land me a job on my first interview, or maybe my first 10 interviews, then thinking of it in terms of practice. And I think there's a story of someone, maybe they're listening, I can't remember, a Scrimba success story, who after getting rejected from an interview would follow up and say what were the reasons? What can I do better, or what can I work on? And if you're going into an interview thinking of it in terms of practicing for interviews, then that's not like a scary, embarrassing thing to do, to fail or to ask for feedback. Because it's just practice.
I can speak a little to that, but I also just want to say that you both make a fantastic point. Like, one day you will stumble upon the job that you really, really want. And if it's your first ever time interviewing, there is a chance you can be successful. I would say it's even a high chance, to be honest. Like, you can prep a lot, but you will feel a lot more calm, collected, more well-prepared if you've done a few interviews before and failed a few times. And it's scary, right? Like, it is actually pretty scary. And the person you're speaking of, Bob, her name is Irona. She worked in customer service for many years, didn't really do anything to do with coding. I think she was a biology major, believe it or not. And in that customer service role, she was transitioning roles quite frequently because it works on a short-term contract. She had a baby. She wanted to learn to code to build a better life for her family and get a more stable job. But the thing about customer service is that you get very used to speaking to people. You get used to rude people. The other thing is that when you're changing job every few months because of the nature of the contract, she felt quite comfortable applying to jobs. And I'm sure as someone who'd been in a slightly more experienced position, she'd been on the other side of the, I wouldn't say hiring table as such, but she'd certainly seen new people enter contracts during her tenure and realized it's no big deal. And so what her attitude was to basically, I think she'd been learning to code for just a couple of months, 3 months maybe, when she started applying for jobs, but she kind of expected that they would reject her. She was like, I mean, come on, I've got 3 months experience, but the worst they can say is no. And who knows, maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe they will actually hire me or have an internship program or something. But crucially, what she was doing was creating a feedback loop where if someone rejected her, she would follow up and ask, hey, how come you rejected me? I'd love to know so I can improve and maybe apply again in the future. And to be honest, like, more people than you might expect were willing to reply and help her out. As a result, after just 6 months, she managed to get a job and she's really happy with it. She was on the podcast a few months ago. But it was scary, man. Like, I totally take my hat off to her. And I think some people have quite a character where they're quite immune to rejection. I don't think I'm one of those people. I don't think most people listening are. I don't think Irona was either. Like, I think every time she applied, it was kind of scary. But at the end of the day, you have to push yourself a little bit to make this opportunity happen. And remember, you're probably not the best judge of your own skill. Like, it's very hard to judge your own skill as a developer. And the only measure that matters if your goal is to get a job is, can you get paid to code? Can you get the job? And some people will judge themselves. They will think, I said this at the beginning, I think it's worth repeating quickly, which is that some people have like a higher opinion of their coding skills than true. Some people are a little bit more on that imposter syndrome side. And if you're one of those people, you might be hurting your chances by not sort of getting out there and applying to jobs today, basically, or as soon as. I do want to say that I think it's different for everybody. And we're certainly not here to say, go and apply right now, no matter who you are, your skill level. It has to be something you're comfortable with, obviously, to a degree. But at another stage, you might have to push just beyond that comfort zone to find the opportunity that you're looking for.
Yeah, you should definitely have some knowledge. It definitely would be useful if you have a broad knowledge about a handful of things. So yeah, like front-end development, you know your HTML, CSS, React, JavaScript. You might know a little bit of Git, and yeah, you're probably ready. Even when you become more experienced, there is no limit to how much you do not know. Like, the amount of stuff you do not know is endless, and the amount of stuff that you know is limited. And there is always a different language, there is always a different system, and there is always a legacy product. So when you join a company as a junior, you're not their first developer. So someone's already written some code, and that code needs to be maintained. There are some bugs in that code that need to be found. They probably have some configuration in a very strange way that you will need to research and find out how it works. I remember I joined the company. There was React 16, I think, or 17 at the time, and they were still using React version 14, which was creating classes with create class method. I was like, what is this? I've never seen this kind of React. How does that even work? It's just an older version. There you go. So sometimes you have to work with it. And sometimes they would just give you a job and say, we have this component written in jQuery, and we would like to port it into React. And you're like, what's jQuery? And that's a whole new rabbit hole.
Let's take some questions from the chat. I noticed earlier on, Get In Front asked, would a junior developer be better getting a paid internship so they might have a better chance of landing a better job or while being in the job search? I think actually the phrasing of that slightly confused me. The other question that Get In Front asked that I was looking for as well is what, and I'll just prioritize this question, Get In Front, if you can clarify, my apologies. Get In Front asked, what do you think about someone who is a front end and wants to become full stack? Would that hurt, help, or neutralize your chance of landing a junior job? I think this is a great question. What do you think?
I think it depends on the job. If it's just junior developer advertised, then it probably does increase your chances if you know a little bit about backend. But if it's just junior front end, then people might think that you have spread yourself too thinly. There is kind of like this strange tug of war between people who say it's better to go broadly but shallow, and there are people who say that you should go deep early on. I'm probably a proponent of going broadly, knowing about a lot of things, but just a little bit, because my career benefited from it, so I'm biased on that one. But to be fair, either way you go, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I think that's the upshot of it. It's a bit like the question about which framework should I learn first. Not sure it really matters. Just kind of choose one and go for it, because there's more than one way of getting to your destination. And I don't think choosing one way or the other is going to you completely fail, like, basically. I would agree with you.
Yeah, you'll probably have equal amount of opportunities getting both, because front end is pretty, there are a lot of developers needed for front end. There are a lot of full stack developers needed. Backend developers are in huge demand because, well, if you want to learn web development, you learn JavaScript. If you want to learn JavaScript, it's probably front-end. So there is like a natural lack of back-end developers in general. But having said that, there is a reason for that, because there is just such a huge demand for front-end devs.
It would be interesting to hear from the person who asked that question, called Get In Front, what your goal is and why you're thinking about this. Because if you are maybe really close to being ready for a front-end job, I'd certainly hate to see you go backwards or spin your wheels to learn backend just to get a better chance if that was true. Of course, it is subjective as well. So if you could clarify about that, I think it would be interesting. But otherwise, I have a question from Marika, who asked, do you think it would be okay to apply a second time for the same job at the same company?
I think, yeah, definitely. She also clarified that at the time when she first applied, she was rejected on the grounds that she didn't know enough React. Now she feels that her React skills are up to scratch. So I don't see how that could not go well for her, really. Clearly, they're still looking for someone if they've still got the role open. And if she's gone away and proved that she's taken their feedback on board and built up skills needed to work there, if I were hiring, I'd think that would be great. So, and ultimately, she's got nothing to lose either. So, yeah.
Sounds like a great idea. Go for it, Marika.
Oh, they're going to remember your name from last time. Maybe you've met them, I'm not sure. But in any case, they'll remember your application. So that, in my view, already puts you on quite a good footing.
I think if the reason is genuine as well, like you actually were quite excited by the opportunity, I think that that will work really well for you, like the enthusiasm and the resilience coming back. I think like great traits to have in a junior dev for sure.
Exactly.
I want to throw another question out there to get people thinking a little bit. And I'd love again for you to take just 30 seconds, a minute to write in the chat. I'd love to know, and we would all love to know, in fact, what your goal is. Like, what job are you looking for? Are you looking for a junior developer role, for example? Are you looking to be a freelancer? And by when are you looking to achieve that goal? So, for example, I could write something like, I'm trying to become a junior dev, or the more specific, the better, really. I might not be able to give the best example of it specific because it will be specific to you, right? But I'm trying to become a junior front-end dev by January 2022, for example. While people have a minute to write about that, because it's super interesting. This way we can tailor what we're talking about to you as well. Robert, who I recognize from the community meetup, and I think his testimonials on the homepage, which is pretty epic, asks, why do they put such rigid requirements in the required knowledge or qualifications? I'm going to read it in the tone I would use, which is, how are you expected to have 2 or 3 years experience as a junior dev?
I think with that, if you had 2 or 3 years experience, you probably wouldn't be looking for a junior role. I think they realistically want people with 2 to 3 years experience. I don't know why they put it on there, to be honest. Someone else answered that it's because they get so many applicants and they just want to make the pool of applicants they need to look at smaller as a way of filtering them out. The 2 to 3 years of experience for a junior dev is ridiculous, so you can basically ignore it. In terms of people talk about the amount of different skills you need to learn, again, I think there's any one person out there who has, I don't know, 50 different technologies or even 30 that a lot of job ads have. As long as you have the main important ones, you know, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, you can learn the others most of the time. Quite often on a job ad, you'll see CSS and then it will say, you know, Tailwind, SAS, Ulma. Even if you don't know them straight away, if you have a solid foundation in CSS, it's pretty easy to pick them up. And the chances that you're actually going to be using all of them every day are pretty much impossible, really, because there aren't enough hours in the day. So as long as you've got the main ones and you've got the other skills that we talked about earlier, so being easy to teach and easy to work with, etc., I think that's what really matters. When people are going to get out of the habit of creating these ludicrous job ads, I don't know. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. But yeah, it's my view.
Yeah, I have a feeling like, well, it could be many different reasons why there is an ad like that. But the main two that I've come across is a hiring manager in some company wants, if it's a really big company, then what probably happened is that tech lead just says, oh, we would like to hire a junior developer and we would like them to have XYZ programming skills. And then that went to HR department and HR just created a generic job application and requirement, and they've just added 2-3 years because that's kind of what kind of non-tech jobs, that's kind of like you're considered in still early career after 2 or 3 years of experience. As soon as you pass your graduate scheme and stuff, first 2-3 years you're considered a junior employee. So like mechanical engineers and stuff, that's pretty common. Or alternatively, it's a tiny company and they just really want to hire someone with 2 or 3 years of experience to hit the ground running, but they want to pay them junior salaries. So they're just trying to hire that one person who's not quite sure about their skills and doesn't want to ask too much. So I would say probably pass on that ad, unless it's a really big company, in which case be a little bit permissive to their HR department and apply anyway. Probably the manager who's going to be interviewing you will be equally surprised to discover that this ad says 2 or 3 years of experience as well.
I think there's like a lot of different types of companies, and there are companies which are like very developer orientated almost, like they really take technology seriously and therefore the people within it. And then there are companies which like have an IT department or they happen to maintain an app or something like that. I'm not here to say that one is better or worse than the other, but I think the scenario you're describing, Michael, like if the company doesn't take technology or at least if the tech leads and so on aren't as heavily involved in the initial creation of the job description, that's something that can certainly happen. And I agree with all your reasoning, by the way. I think that at the end of the day, most bachelor degrees in computer science are like 3-4 years, right? And so I can kind of imagine people creating that as a proxy of equivalent experience. But the truth is, like, time doesn't tell you how experienced someone is. Like, it's not the You could have been doing it for a year and then, like, I'm going to use a silly example, but it's a clear one. You could do it for a year and spend an hour a day, or you could do it for a year and spend 2 hours a day. And when you add that up, it's nonsense comparing them because it just doesn't make sense, right? It's all about experience. And I also feel as though with regards to those job ads, you will not be immediately disqualified. It's not easy to measure someone's experience. So people lean on these kind of proxies, like, how many years have you been doing this? And you can really make it up, right? Like, over the years, I've heard people say, oh, I know Visual Basic, I know C#, I know Python. And it's because they've followed a couple of tutorials in those languages, and they classify it as a language they know. I wrote a line of code when I was very young, just because I was playing with it. I could say, oh, I wrote my first line of code when I was 12. I've been coding for 10 years. Like, you can, it's totally subjective and it's really silly, actually. It definitely stops a lot of people. It stops a lot of great people finding jobs they're going to enjoy. And it stops companies from finding great candidates sometimes. And I think it's worth acknowledging that writing a good job description is like a skill. And it's not something that every company does great. You shouldn't necessarily rule yourself out of any opportunity. And you can even make a rule for yourself, like, if you meet as little as 60% of the requirements, or if you need a year experience, but you have only 60% of that, you can classify that as something you would apply to. Whatever your threshold is, you can do that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the actual experience. And experience sometimes correlates with years, but that's not necessarily the cause either, because correlation isn't causation, as they say. And so the best advice I can share is to just apply for those jobs anyway. You can make a judgment, like an individual judgment, if you think this is going to be a good place for you to be and to grow. What's happening in the chat, Leanne?
An interesting question from Robert Peacock. Well, actually, it's not really a question. He says, the junior devs at my last job were made into intermediate devs with a pay bump 1 to 1.5 years in, which is another thing we wanted to mention, actually. When you're looking for a junior role, you should be asking what the progression path is. Do they have a clear idea about what you need to learn and how long it's going to take for you to lose the junior part of the job title, basically, because you're going to be a junior forever and you want to know what your goal is and how you can get there and get that pay bump. I know, Michael, in your previous job, the people you were mentoring, at least one of them, I think, lost the junior part of their title and became a mid-level dev after a year or so, I think it was. So that was quite nice for them.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, at least in the UK, maybe it's very similar in the US. After a year, year and a half, two maximum, it's kind of assumed that you get mid-level developer position. Although there is a small cheat to that. And if you have a junior position in which you've been for 9 months or a year, and then you're looking for a new role, you can get yourself to a mid-level position that way. So just by virtue of your second job, people will be like, well, fair enough. Then there you go. Here's a mid-level position. But to be honest, it's very hard to quantify, because the real difference between junior, mid-level and senior is in terms of how much responsibility you can actually handle in the company. Oftentimes it is about how proficient you are in your programming skills. But a lot of the time you get promoted based on how much focus you put on development of the particular business that you're involved in. So if you can drive a certain initiative and you deliver a certain results, that's what kind of most of the time determines your seniority.
Some people say you actually don't even need to do the junior role. Don't even go there. Apply for developer roles from the offset. I think if you've got experience or big projects that you've built, I think that's certainly possible to pull it off. I suppose the downside of it is the expectation on you then would be a lot higher. So if you've got the solid skills and you feel confident in it, then don't feel like you have to go for a junior role and therefore get less pay just because you haven't had a role before. I've certainly seen some people on this Discord server that have got skills to be a mid-level dev already. You don't have to use that stepping stone, but just be aware that if you do go for the non-junior role, you are going to have a lot more responsibility, as you kind of mentioned just now, Michael.
I guess, like, junior dev is a title, right? And titles, again, can change from company to company, and they mean different things to different people. Most of the reason people use titles internally is because it kind of, like, ranks you in terms of salary and stuff like that. I think externally it can be a good tool, but that's not really relevant to developers. Marika has a cool question, which I don't know who wants to answer it. I don't know the answer. She asked, what should one do to get a pay rise sooner than a year?
Switch job.
Switch job. Yeah, that's brutal advice, though, to be honest. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, it's kind of in general, you get far more significant pay increases when you hop the jobs rather than promotions within your current job, because kind of most companies just in general say that you have, within the most companies, usually the budget for pay increases is usually, 3, 5, 10% tops. But when you change jobs, you can, you know, sometimes double your salary. So yeah, as a junior, I would, well, to be fair, no, as a junior, in general, the way I get pay increases is by changing jobs. So same with the same company, I mainly got, marginal improvements. But changing company definitely improved it by a lot.
It is quite often said, isn't it, that like when you get the job, you kind of anchor yourself, and now every new salary is going to be referenced. There's a percentage increase from the other, and that can sound a bit insane sometimes if you really want to make a big jump in your career. I will just say, just in my experience, I did get quite a big pay bump when I was a junior developer advocate, because like it was just a good company, like they were switched on, I think, and didn't want to necessarily lose someone enthusiastic because of that. And the only reason I bring that up is because it's kind of circumstantial, isn't it? But yeah, doing high visibility, great work. And there is a lot of advice out there. I'm not the best person to relay it necessarily, but people do say things like, if you take ownership of a very specific project, you become a lot more indisposable. But there are counter arguments. I personally take the view that like, if there shouldn't be just one person who knows everything about one project. I think that's a bit, I don't think that's very productive as a team. So again, it really does depend. I want to invite Robert Peacock up onto the stage in a second, because it sounds like Robert has some really interesting experience. But I just want to acknowledge that Philippe sheds a really great tip in the chat. And I think someone commented in response to that, saying that they would try and lean on their old soft skills to earn a better job, which I think is a great idea. Like, so many more skills than you realize are transferable. Another question that came up twice, pretty much, I'll just use Natisha's one because it's the most recent. Asks, do we actually need to learn data structures and algorithms to get a junior front-end dev job? Bob, you've used a lot of React, of course. I mean, that's possibly a huge understatement. But I think when you're building React applications, data structures, linked lists, and sorting algorithms and all this, they don't really come up in terms of building projects. Why do you think companies put such an importance on them? And do you really need to know that? Those things to get your first junior dev job?
I think it has a lot more to do with discovering your ability to problem solve. I've seen a lot of tweets lately that are funny about, oh, you're getting a junior job as a React developer, JavaScript developer, so here's a programming test that has you solve like a binary search tree or create a binary search tree in JavaScript. And like, obviously, that's not something you're going to be doing at your job. And I think a lot of companies are moving away from interviews like that. But I think the important thing is to show that you can problem solve. As you get deeper and deeper in programming, it's certainly important to understand data structures and algorithms in the sense of in the way that they are applicable to everyday life. Like you can do a much better job of understanding how to structure your code and what kind of data to use when you understand those things. But unless you're going pretty deep into computer science, you're not really going to use a lot of those things. And it's going to be more important that you can prove to the person that's interviewing you that you are a good problem solver, even if that means, you know, saying that you don't know how to do something, but describing how you might go about learning how to do that thing. So I think that algorithms are like algorithm challenges, JavaScript challenges are fun, but I've been coding for 7 years about now, and I couldn't write a binary search tree, and that's mostly because I'm not interested at this point in spending my time learning that when there's a million other things that I could learn that would make me a more productive developer.
I was listening to a podcast earlier by chance at the gym, and it was about soft skills and becoming a dev and stuff like that. And someone speculated that perhaps the reason people ask those like computer science-y questions is because at a point, not so much recently, most developers came through the computer science route. And as a result, it was like the best test they had because they, I don't know, do you think there's any resemblance of truth to that?
I think it stems all from those reverse linked list question. variation on topic.
What do you mean exactly?
It's like it used to be a very popular interview question. Like here's a list. Here's a linked list. Write an algorithm to reverse it. And I think it stems all the way from like the 80s C question, where people are looking for a lot of C developers and they needed eight. Well, it's kind of a very popular problem in C to reverse linked list. And now it's just that people kind of moved on into Googles and Facebooks. And now all of these data structure questions is just variation on this one question, kind of like spice it up a little bit and keep it in the same topic, in the same vein.
Yeah, and I think once Google do it, people just start doing it because they think they're meant to do it. And it's kind of a problem. I see someone called Chunks, CH1NUX, in the audience with like an avocado. I think this person shared Scrimba on Twitter and it got a few likes and stuff. So thank you for that. Just want to acknowledge that while I can. But I invited Robert because, Robert, it sounds like you've got a fair bit of experience both working as a developer and seeing how juniors join and operate within companies. We've never met, of course, so it'd be great if you could introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your experience with junior developers for the benefit of us and everybody listening.
Hi, everybody. My name is Robert. I've worked in software for about 10 years. I had kind of a weird non-traditional path into software, and I started doing mobile development 10 years ago and then have kind of worked through a series of different random jobs since then. I think the number one thing I want to say about being a junior developer, there's a really good saying that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And what I mean by that is that in my first job when I was a junior developer, I interviewed for the job. It was a company doing mobile apps, and primarily all of their stuff was iOS. So I went and I learned how to program in iOS. They asked me to do like a demo app for them. I did the interview. I got the job. I was so excited. I went to the company and then they're like, okay, great. We want you to build the Android version of one of our iOS apps. And suddenly I was like, basically like a solo dev in the middle of a team because there was no one else there with any Android experience. The developers who were working there were also mostly relatively new, I would say, and none of them used Git or knew how to use Git or really even knew what Git was. They were basically sharing files using Dropbox, like live sharing files using Dropbox. They would edit a file and save, and then you'd get a little notification on your screen saying that a Dropbox folder had been updated, which was just, it was a bit of a nightmare. And
madness.
Yes, absolute madness. And so really looking back on 10 years of working in this industry, my first 3 years were actually like my slowest growth. And once I moved on from there and joined other companies, I was suddenly surrounded by people, you know, not to sound like I'm not being humble or bragging or anything, but suddenly I was surrounded by people who were like considerably smarter than me in that they really knew their craft. And the rate at which I started to learn went through the roof. In hindsight, you know, I wish that it had been a different experience. I wish that at my first job there had been like clear mentorship and just a deep pool of skills to draw from. So bear that in mind when you're looking for jobs. Obviously, take any job you can get, especially in this economy. Getting a job is great, and it really gets your foot in the door. Once you have like 6 months to a year of experience on your CV, it makes it so much easier to get the next job. And to reiterate what somebody was saying earlier, absolutely, I've only ever gotten pay bumps by moving from one job to another. It's sort of just a reality of this industry. So keep that in mind as you progress through your careers. Don't get too complacent in any one place.
That was so eloquent and wonderful. Thank you, Robert. I sincerely hope you can join us for future events like this, because I think you have some experience and wisdom that will help many people who are a little bit earlier on their path. And with that said, that's pretty much all we have time for today. We like to end these sessions bang on time in case you have meetings coming up or something like that.
I'd like to close out by saying thank you for coming. And if you haven't already done it, there is a new weekly web dev challenge, which I would love to see your submissions for. And it's over in weekly challenge channel, which is in the main channel section. I shared the link yesterday.
Amazing. Thank you so much, everybody. Hopefully we'll see you next week. The events are on your dashboard and on Luma, in case you don't know. And yeah, check out the weekly web dev challenge. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. See ya.